suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We're going to start this hour by asking a question of you. And that is, do you know what God has called you to be and to do? There are different functions within the body of Christ, and I thank God for this diversity. If we're all called to do and be the same thing, the body would be incomplete, and there would be no room for growth. But because there are such diversity, so many different things within the body, there is that constant growth that goes on. While Christ is the head, therefore giving the directions to the body, it remains that we must all be in tune with what the head desires for each of us. I realize perfectly well today that I cannot move that finger until my head tells me to move it. It doesn't move independently. I cannot move this elbow until the head tells me to do that. It's not just a reflex action. All of the movement of the body, all of the control of the body comes from the head. What I see, what I hear, what I taste, what I smell, and down to what I touch, all comes because of the sensitivity that's produced through the head that I have on this body. The same thing's true in the body of Christ. You can go ahead and be seated, gentlemen, if you like. I'm sorry. Are you waiting for someone? I come to the question now, have you ever gone before the Lord to solemnly ask Him what particular gift you have? There can be no doubt that there are gifts given that are dormant and not being exercised within this body. This is a detriment to the proper functioning of the body of Christ. Every gift ought to be in operation. Everyone should know what their gift is. I've often felt that many people I know were failing to use a particular gift. And it's most difficult for someone other than the believer himself to pinpoint exactly what and how these gifts should be used. Now, it may be true that there are many gifts that ought to be in operation. I'm going to name just six today that are needful to all of us who belong to the body of Christ, and some of them are going to surprise you, I think. Without them, we'd cease to exist. So I would call these then the six essential gifts of the body, the things we cannot do without. Before we get into this, let me make a few general remarks. I realize that while some are not necessarily exercising any particular gift, there are others who exercise more than one gift. They've been given more than one. I thank God for that. And those gifts are essential to the body. The body won't function without them. I have reason to believe, and I'm not saying this out of pride, nor am I trying to be boastful, but I honestly believe that the Maranatha Fellowship, as it now stands, wouldn't exist apart from me. I believe that because I believe I've been an essential part of the growth of this particular unit, and it would not be at its present state if I hadn't been here. I believe that what I've taught over the years and the meetings that I've conducted and the places I've gone, the people to whom I've ministered whatever my gifts were, I believe all of those things are part of the gift that God gave to this fellowship, and I'm part of that gift. God gave me to you to be a teacher to you. And I have been, over these years, faithfully trying to follow in that role. I wasn't always conscious that it was a gift to you, but I believe that God gave me as a gift to you. And the reason I believe that is because Paul... My. Do you do that often? Wonderful. You can call deer with that. He said that he gave some, remember? He talks about the gifts. He gave gifts of man to man. Here in the book of Ephesians. And I think it's important that we remember that the gifts to the body are in the form of men who are exercising particular gifts that God gives to them that are for the purpose of that. Now, because that's true, and I believe that I have been given as a gift, I also have been given a gift, and that gift, of course, is to be a teacher. So I'm going to talk about these essential gifts. The first of all, and this is going to surprise you, I believe God gives the gift of learning. Now you think about that a little bit. The fact that you are able to learn and to be able to digest spiritual things indicates that God has opened up your heart and has given you that gift. Thank God for the gift of learning. We all have to learn before we can walk. So God gives that gift to you. It's a humbling fact to consider. None of us would ever learn a thing about the truths of the Scriptures if God had not given to us this precious gift of learning. It is said that in the last times the men would be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. God withholds that gift from some, in other words. They're always learning, but they can't come to the knowledge of the truth. When God gives you the gift of learning, you are able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So consider that as a gift. Isn't that a precious gift, brethren? God has given you the gift of learning. There'll always be those who qualify as having the gift of learning, and they're probably going to make up the main body of believers within the body of Christ. Always thank God for those that want to learn. Just give me somebody that wants to learn, and man, I'm in my glory. I love to teach. I love to have somebody with an open mind and an open heart that just says, and what's next? Tell me the next. Come with questions and want to get the answers. Back years ago, I had a young man who now has gone to be with the Lord, by the way. At that time, he was about 18 years old. And I could expect during the week, well, when I first met him, and got back home from where his home was. I had held a meeting there. I got a call every day. He said, my dad's going to kill me. The phone bills, he would call me at noon. I said, don't call in prime time. Well, I can't wait, Brother Rhodes. I wanted to get the answer. So I said, well, I tell you what, in that case, just call me collect. Well, I don't want to do that. I said, well, you just do that. Because I don't want your dad killing you until you get trained. You know? So he would call me every day, and then it got down to where it was about three times a week, and he carried that on for a considerable period of time. And I could always tell him, he wouldn't say hi. He wouldn't say, well, Brother Rhodes, how are you doing? He'd say, I have a question for you. So he would start. He said to me one day, he said, you know, it never dawned on me. Am I bothering you with all of these questions? I said, not at all. I consider it a privilege that you would give me the honor of answering questions for you, that you consider me worthy to be your teacher. Not only are those who have never be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are always going to be those who want to learn, who have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and they have hearts and minds that are open to the truth. I praise the Lord for this precious gift that God has given you. For it is also true that God has blocked the minds and hearts of many who cannot ever learn and are going to go out into eternity without hope. Just this week, someone asked me, said, why is this truth so hated by some people? I said, because God has not given them the ability to understand it. God has given you a gift. Do you consider this as a gift? Please do, because it's a good one. Listen. God blocks the hearts and minds of many who cannot ever learn, and they'll go into eternity with no hope. It's written in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 through 14. It says, and for this cause, for this cause God shall send them, that means those that are not given the gift of learning, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now listen to what Paul had to say about the believers in Thessalonica. Listen to it. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. In other words, God chose them to believe the truth. I've often pointed out that no one can be a good leader until they can be a good follower. When I was pastoring a church, we had a man in our church who was a businessman, and someone mentioned to me one day, they started a campaign among some of them and said that, well, he'd make a good deacon. And I said, no, I don't think so. No, I don't think you know what you're talking about. Yeah, he'd make a good deacon. And so I found out it was his wife, and he had some other relatives and others that came there. And they wanted to get this man on the so-called deacon board. And I'm ashamed to admit I had some. So finally, I decided I'd put a stop to it. I went directly to him. I said, are you behind this campaign? I said, because if you are, I'm at the risk of being hated by you, I'm going to tell you this, as long as I'm pastor of this church, you'll never be a deacon. He said, well, may I ask you why, Brother Rhodes? And I said, because you'll never be a leader until you know how to follow. And you don't know how to follow. And then the man started out against me. He didn't get very far. I've had people that went against me, and they never got very far. And I'm well aware of the fact that I'm not very well liked by some people. But I know this, that until God, like Job, lets down the fence around me, nobody's going to get to me. But I want to press this thing home, that you can't be a leader until you're a follower. Now, none of us ever stop learning, and we're going to do so until the day God calls us home. I want you to remember that being able to learn is a gift from God and should be highly prized. That brings me then to the second gift, and that's the gift of teaching. Teachers are necessary to the ongoing work of Jesus Christ within the body. This is a truth that you have to know and you have to learn. It takes a long time to learn it. But once you learn it, you have to know it, and then you may or may not be called to teach it. But if God has called you to teach this, then because you began as a learner and had that gift, had your mind opened up to the truth, then you'll find that you'll progress into this second calling very easily, because you'll put yourself in the place of those who have been given the gift of learning. I've been a lot more patient with people in the past years of my life than I was at the beginning. One reason for that is I realize that not everybody's going to learn as fast as I want them to. That I have to be patient, that some people's minds are kind of like molasses. They just don't get stirred up too fast. They're just kind of sluggish and slow, and they just kind of get one truth and hang on to it for about 6 months until it finally gets digested in their mind, and then they're ready for another one. And I know that. But you see, that's part of being a teacher. Consider how long it took you as a learner to learn what you've learned. Think about all the years that some of you have spent just now beginning to learn before you start teaching anybody, if you've got the gift of teaching. The edification of the body is totally dependent upon those who teach. If the body is to grow and prosper as it should, then just as food is necessary for the human body, so also is the food of the Word for the body of Christ. Not everyone can teach, but those who do will be highly regarded for their work. To be able to teach others is a great responsibility. It involves a teacher and a vast amount of study and soul searching. The Scriptures don't open up easily to sluggish people. It requires a desire to know thoroughly the subject matter before you. You take the subject, for instance, of justification by faith. To learn all there is to know on this subject and then be able to teach others what is known will take a teacher through a rigorous amount of study. Just on the body of Christ, for instance, if you want to teach somebody about the body of Christ, think how many hours you must put in order to be able to comprehend this so thoroughly that when you sit down with someone else, you can let them know what you know. I had a friend years ago, his name was Maurice Humphreys. Maurice is dead now, but he was found murdered in Paris. Maurice Humphreys was a graduate of the University of South Carolina, and then went to North Carolina, went to Duke University, went to Yale University. From Yale, he went to Cambridge, or Oxford, I forget. In the last years of his life, he's at the Sorbonne in Paris. Maurice was a professional student. And someone said of him one day within my hearing, this is before the Lord ever gave me any wisdom, but I had wisdom enough to know this. Said, Maurice Humphreys is the most brilliant man I've ever known. He's so highly educated. And I looked at this person and I said, he's not educated. He's not the most brilliant man you've ever known. To go to 4 or 5 or 6 universities and end up with PhDs and all kinds of different doctor's degrees does not make a man brilliant, nor does it make him educated. And I said this, and I remember, I'm so proud of myself for being the originator of this. The true test of an education is whether or not you can communicate what you know to other people. If you can't communicate what you know, then you might as well not know it. What good does it do if you know something and can't teach somebody else or can't tell them? I've had people say to me, well, I just wish I could tell others like you do. Well, why not? Get it into a form like you'd like it to be presented to you, and then say to somebody, look, this is what I've learned. Maybe if I explain it to you the way I've learned it, maybe you can understand it too. And I know that sounds easy, and at the same time it's difficult. But remember this, that when you are called to teach, if God has given you a gift of teaching, that if you're going to reach others, you've got to go through a rigorous amount of study, and the main study that you're going to have to go through is to learn how to keep something simple so that you can teach others. I hope and pray that I'll never get so profound you won't know what I'm talking about. I don't want to use terms that you can't understand. I want to use language that's common to you. I could use other language. I'm well aware. I've got a pretty good vocabulary, you know. But I don't have to use all of it. The reason I don't have to, because it isn't necessary. I mean, if I want to talk about man's sin, I'm not going to say, well, he has certain innate faults. Sin is sin. It's not an innate fault. It's a sin. It's easier to spell, by the way. So When we talk about, let's talk about the doctrine of God's sovereignty, for instance. You say, well, I believe in the sovereignty of God. Do you? Could you sit down for the next half hour without repeating yourself and tell me what you know about the sovereignty of God? Now think about this for a minute. Could you sit down with someone and without becoming verbose or getting lost or having to say, I hate these words, oh, I wish I knew how to say this. Could you explain what you claim to know? Because after all, that will demonstrate whether or not you're a teacher. You know what someone said about Robert Murray McShane? I never heard McShane preach, of course. He lived and died long before I came on the scene. But they said this about him, that he could take the most complex subject and make it so simple that it's almost as if you thought of it yourself when you hear him. Take the sovereignty of God. A study on holiness and sanctification is certain to involve a teacher in hours and hours of hard, intensive work. The subject of biblical infallibility is much needed study today, and it will require the teacher to spend countless hours preparing to teach others what is learned. Has God called you to be a teacher? Do you believe this is a gift that God has given you? If so, then preparation for that ministry of teaching will take you into the Scriptures in a way you have never dreamed of. I want to tell you something. Maranatha Fellowship needs teachers. But they're not made. They are given the gift by God. But once that gift has been given to you, polish it and regard it as a great treasure, because it is a great treasure to be able to teach others what you know. I am such a blessed man. God has so blessed me about that. I consider these moments, you don't get anything out of these meetings near what I get out of them. And it isn't that it satisfies my ego, because I don't think I've got one anymore. But I get such intense spiritual satisfaction of being able to sit up here like I do for these few days we're together and see the recognition in your face and an occasional tear in your eye, and to be able to see that when you get up and go out of here, that you say, I've got something I didn't have when I came here. I've learned something. And to be able to teach you what I know, what a great privilege that is. God has given me this gift. I thank God for this gift. Now we've got another one I want to talk about. And this gift is evident within our fellowship, and that's the gift of showing mercy. There are many within the body of Christ who are always giving of themselves to hold up the head and the hands of the weary, the pain-ridden, the sufferer. There are special times when all of us need someone to bear our burdens that are so heavy that we almost break under them. When these times come upon us, we can turn for support to those who are the givers of mercy. It's not that the mercy of God fails us, but human support is to be highly valued as well. We've all known people who had the special gift of empathy and sympathy, and I thank God for them. What would the body of Christ be if it were not for those who silently bear the burdens of others, as we are all told to do in Galatians 6:2? The problem is we have so few of them. All of us ought to be willing to bear each other's burdens, for we've all been told to do so, and yet it seems there are some who have that gift and they exercise it, and they do so freely. I can call to mind today several people that I believe have that gift. And I'm so grateful for them. And yet, if you told them they had it, they wouldn't, or they'd be embarrassed about it. But it is a gift. I come now to the next gift. I want to talk about this for a minute. In all the years you've heard me teach, and some of you back beyond the teaching stage, back when I was preaching, you've never heard me say much about giving, have you? No. Come on, are you responding to me?
No.
You have heard a lot of people talk about speaking? No, you haven't. You know why I don't? Because I think it's useless to talk about giving to people who aren't going to do it. And to those who are going to do it, you don't have to say anything to them. Does that make sense? See, that's a gift. The gift of giving is a part of the ministry of the body of Christ. Where would we be today without these unsung heroes of the faith, so to speak? In the Maranatha Fellowship, there are those who have supported the ministry generously over these years. We have tons of literature that's been produced, and I mean that literally. I'm not lying when I say tons. We have the support of missions, the gift of support of myself. They're all part of that giving ministry. Not all of us are called upon to exercise these gifts. There are some people in our fellowship that have never given anything to me particularly. I hold them in just as high regard as I do any of the others. I'll tell you why, because they haven't been given that gift. Or if they have been given it, they're disobedient to it. I remember when my daughter, Julie, came to me one time when she was a little girl. And we were going to have a missionary offering in our church. I had a mission week there for a few days, and I think it was 5 days in the church. And I had 4 or 5 different missionaries in, people that we were considering for support. I wasn't making any money as a pastor to speak of. I believe at that time I was getting the great sum of $35 a week. And out of that $35, I was paying $50 a month rent for the house I lived in. Now, you know what kind of a house it was. I've often said most people have wall-to-wall carpets. I didn't have wall-to-wall floors. But I loved every minute of it. God blessed me during those years. And Julie came to me during the missionary conference. And she's not a saved girl. I mean, she's unsaved. But she was touched by the message of this missionary the night before, and she came to me and she said, "Daddy, I don't have any money. And I'd like to give Mr. So-and-so some money." And I said, "Well, Julie, I hate to tell you, but I haven't got any money either." She said, "Oh, but I'm not asking you. I'm asking God for it." And boy, I broke my heart. Because I knew that I was going to have to play the part of God in her life, because that God used me to supply Julie's need. And that night, we're about to take the offering, and I just felt led to ask the people, instead of passing a plate around, I said, "Just as you get ready to leave tonight, just come by the offering plates are down here. Just leave your gift in them as you leave." And I was standing there and I saw little Julie coming. Big smile on her face, fists tightly closed. And I said, "What in the world's going on?" And I watched her, and she opened up that fist and 2 quarters fell out. And she goes like that, walks away. And on the way home that night, I said, "Where'd you get 2 quarters? She said, "God gave them to me." And I said, "Come on, Julie. You know, God just didn't open up the heaven and 2 quarters fall on you." And she said, no, that isn't what happened. Mr. Litton gave me 2 quarters. And I said, "Well, did you mention your need to Mr. Litton?" She said, "No, I asked God. God laid it on Mr. Litton's heart to give it to me." Boy, I learned something from that little child. I learned something from her. That gift of giving, and you know, she still has that today, by the way. And I don't know. I know all of us aren't given this gift. God doesn't make everybody a giver in that sense. If I were to want a certain gift from God, it would be this gift. Countless people are going to rise up in future generations. When all of us are off the scene, there are going to be people out there in the future that are going to say, I don't know who is responsible for this. But somebody way back there sacrificed and gave so that I could have this piece of literature in my hand that has enlightened my heart and shown me Jesus Christ in all of his glory. Wouldn't you like to have somebody do that someday? Wouldn't that be a blessed privilege? Well, some of you are going to have that privilege. You see, because that's part of it. I love that gift. Countless people are going to call us blessed for being responsive. There are generations yet unborn who may well be the recipients of this gift among us. I don't know where the literature and the tapes are going to find their way in the future. I'm surprised now where they find their way. I never know how certain tapes get so. Like in the Philippines, I'm still not sure how that literature got over there. Who took it there and how it got into certain hands. Jose Sorne, who's now dead, got a whole piece of literature, and that was given to another man who ignited another man's heart, and out of that, a whole thing began to open up. But how did that first literature get there? I do know one thing. I know how it got printed, because somebody with the gift of giving was responsible for seeing that done. One of the amazing facts that I've noticed is how so few can do so much. But when the giver and the gifts are examined, it becomes evident that God has given some rather usual people some very unusual gifts. I would spend more time on that, but I don't dare. There's a word that we use quite often, and I think sometimes we use it and we don't really understand what it is. But I want to talk about the gift of edifying. I've been around a lot of people who never edify anybody. When I'm around them, I don't particularly want to be around them. I want to be edified. Don't you? Don't you like to be talking to someone and walk away and say, boy, that was a blessing talking to them. But I've had other people that talk to me and all I want to do is get away from them. And it's not that they're boring or that they've got B.O. or bad breath. It's just that they never edify me. And I want to be edified. And worst part about it is they don't allow me to edify them, because there are some people that unless they have this gift, they don't even understand what's going on. And you can't even edify them. It's much needed, and it's given liberally to some I've known. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote this, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. In Romans 14:19, he also wrote, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Well, bud, here comes another one of those Greek words for you. Hello? Yeah. Comes from a Greek word, oikodomio. Oikodomio. And it has a wonderful meaning, and this is why I want to give it to you. Because just to read the word edify, it doesn't really show you this. You know what it means? It refers to a house builder or one who constructs or confirms. In other words, an edifier is a builder. Yeah, they every time you come in contact with them, another brick gets laid in place in your building. Another slab of mortar for you masons goes on. There's some building that goes on in other people because of these edifiers. And that's a great gift. Everyone I know who fits in this category are blessed people indeed. God has given them something that's badly needed within the framework of the body of Christ. The edifier is constantly building up those around him. Don't you know some people like that? And don't you know there are others that don't? I know some that when you're around them, they just doom and gloom hang over them. That little guy in Little Abner cartoon years ago, Joe Blufsk or whatever his name was, everywhere he went, he had that little cloud hanging over his head.
Joe Blufsk,
yeah. And everywhere he went, it rained, or lightning would flash or something. He brought gloom everywhere he went. And, you know, it's a shame, isn't it, within the body of Christ that there are some people like that. I'm not sure they're in the body, but we come in contact with them. But the edifier doesn't do that. He builds up those. There are some people that manage to get into meetings, and they're there to tear down instead of building up. And it remains that men are known by their fruits, and in due time they're revealed for what they are. But blessed are the edifiers. Where would we be without them? I thank God for them. As I was working on these messages, I got to thinking about these gifts, and oh, there were so many came to mind. I could spend the next few hours here, you know. But I want to talk about the sixth gift, if I may, and that's the gift of hospitality. I know it's associated with other gifts, and yet it's one of the choicest gifts that God gives to believers. Over these many years of being in the ministry, I've had the privilege of enjoying the hospitality of some of God's most wonderful people. Within our own fellowship, there are many who exercise this gift, and all without realizing it has been given to them. I'm sure that Frank and Mildred never realized that God gave them the gift of hospitality. When I think back over my life in the ministry, I fondly recall many meals shared, homes that have been opened to me, kindnesses that have been extended, the generous giving spirit of God's people. I recall them all, and I've often wondered, I hope that I can be 1/100th of that in my hospitable nature. The place we've been using here in Medina, Ohio for a meeting place all of these years is a good example. Where would our fellowship be without the gift of hospitality of the Medina Fellowship, and particularly the opening up of this home of Frank and Mildred Riley? I'm sure that they were not aware of a gift being given to them, but over the years, God has been blessing them, and they have been a blessing to others as a result of their hospitality. And I think many are going to have a reason in the days ahead and the years ahead to rise up and call them blessed for having been responsive to the Holy Spirit in this matter. I've been speaking about some rather ordinary gifts, but let me say that again. God has given extraordinary gifts to ordinary people. If God has given you one of these gifts, rejoice in it and use it wisely. Some people have been given the gift of helps. Sonia this morning said, I have to get some ice for the cooler. We're going to take some sausage back to Alabama with us and hopefully get it there before it rots in the heat. And she said, I need to get some ice. I said, well, whenever you need anything around this fellowship, just see Jimmy Prophet. Jimmy is the helper. He always is there to do anything that is needed. Do you realize that, folks? I'm not sure that Jimmy recognized that as a gift, but it's a gift. I always say, ask Jimmy. See Jimmy. Jimmy will take care of it. Frank, he said, well, when you want something done, get Jimmy to do it. Jimmy is always there to do that. You know, and listen, dear people, I'm not saying this to honor any particular people. There are lots of others that could be mentioned. I could come on and give you all these different gifts, but these six gifts that I mentioned take in gifts that are operable and working within our circle of fellow believers. Let me just go over them, if I may, for a moment. First of all, the gift of learning, the gift of teaching, the gift of showing mercy, the gift of giving, the gift of edifying, and the gift of hospitality. Now, there are a lot of other gifts. And down in your secret heart, the secret place where you often have someone speaking to you, perhaps there's a voice saying, well, I have another gift. Good. Cherish it. keep it to yourself. Let it be evident in the way you conduct your life from day to day. But if God has given you a gift, the very fact that you're here right now is only because God has given you the gift of being here. He has enabled you to be able to put one foot in front of another. Harriet over here can testify a few months ago that she didn't have that ability. God now has given her the ability to be able to put one foot in front of another. Virginia Robinson can say the same thing. You're here just a few weeks ago. You're laid up in a hospital bed. And I'm just telling you that it's a gift of God. It's by the grace of God that we're all here and been brought here for these unusual days that we've been able to spend together. These are God's times. God has been gifting us. And we're all recipients of some of the choicest gifts that God has ever given anybody. I want to thank you for coming. I'm not going to speak much longer because my voice is not holding up too well right now. And I'm getting just a little weary. But out of a heart filled with gratitude, I want to say thank you for being my friends, for being good to me, for loving me when I'm not lovable, for being here when you could have been somewhere else. Thank you for that. And I hope by the same token that you'll give thanks to Almighty God for the privilege that's been yours this week to be able to sit here with a Bible open and to receive some instruction. And hopefully something has been said this week to make a better person out of you. If that's the case, then hallelujah. God bless you, and may the Lord continue to watch over you and guide you. Some time ago, I gave Sonia a scripture. I don't know where I was going or she was going somewhere. I forget now. But it's the Mizpah. Do any of you know the Mizpah? Huh?
Something to do with Jewish
people? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All right, Ken, you know.
The Lord watches between me and thee while we are apart.
One for another. All right. Let's remember that. The Lord watched between me and thee while we are apart one from another. God bless you. Amen.